This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman along with John Senecal, episode 190. John, how are you?
I'm all right. I finally got sick, Brian. I tell you something. I have not been sick, I don't think, in like almost 2.5 years. I finally got it. I don't know. I had a little get together last weekend, 2 weekends ago. My son got his confirmation. And I think I might have picked it up. You know, yeah. My older son's in college. That place is like a petri dish. He's been sick so much. So I don't know how your kids are faring in college, but Jesus, he's sick all the time now.
Yeah. And they're sick and tired of getting my phone calls. Listen, let's talk baseball. You talk about our kids. I had this incredible full circle moment. So basically the rundown of the show, I'll talk a little bit about opening day. We'll talk 10 or so games in, how we're feeling about our teams. We'll get into Vlad Guerrero and some other things as well. One of my favorite baby pictures, my daughter was born in 2006. And at the time, I had a friend who worked for the Red Sox and used to get us in all the time. And there's a baby picture of my daughter in a Red Sox onesie and a Red Sox hat on the Green Monster. And it's like the best baby picture we have. And on opening day, we were able to get her tickets too. And so she came to Fenway with three of her friends from college, and I went with my wife, and it was just kind of a neat full circle moment. She was so excited to be there to show her friends. One was from Texas, and to show her friends, Fenway, she feels like an insider. And as a dad, it was like a full circle moment. It was just really, really cool.
Now, did you get the same picture or no?
No, I couldn't get up to that friend doesn't work there anymore, and I couldn't get up to the Monster, and I couldn't dangle her. It was almost like the joke I made on our morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, which you can stream, by the way, it was almost like the Michael Jackson baby out the window picture, and it wasn't like that, but it kind of looked like it could have been. But we did take pictures, and I'll just give you a little minute or two on the Red Sox and the home opener. Opening day is always fun. Regardless, the energy is great. You know it's going to be full, although I have to tell you, I don't think it's sold out, which is fascinating to me. I can't imagine it not selling out. I think my wife and I have been to like 22, maybe 23 straight opening days, and the weather was unbelievable. It was like 65 plus and sunny.
Yeah, perfect weather.
And we've had snow, we've had rain, we've had moments, opening days where we we were miserable. And this was like, I almost got a sunburn. It was so insane. The two things I want to point out, one is an old thing that I'll bring up again, but I think ultimately I was thinking Devers would get booed. And there might have been a smattering, but it was overwhelmingly positive how he was received, which I have to tell you, I was surprised by. Now, to be honest, there's such a tiny minuscule of hardcore Boston left. So it's a different vibe in the stadium. There's just like from my childhood, there's more women, there's more kids. It's just different. It's not as edgy. It's not quite as drunk. Although I had a great story. Do you know what a shoey is?
No, I don't.
So a shoey, I guess, is when you chug a beer out of your shoe.
You got to be drunk enough to do it, right?
Yeah. So this one guy, big fat guy in center field, gets up, stands up, fills his shoe with beer and chugs it, and everyone around him goes crazy. And this is like good old school Boston stuff. And he does, he loved the reception. So he did it a second time and people liked it again. Like some reason this moron decides to do it a third time. I don't think the world was clamoring for it. Let's just be honest about it. But then he got kicked out.
For boozing out of his shoe?
He did. As far as I can tell, the only reason he got walked out of the stadium is that he stood up and chugged a beer out of his shoe three times. And I just think that, like, where are we in the world where that's a problem? I mean, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And it's gross. But he's not hurting anybody. He's not starting any fights. If anything, he was entertaining people. You're setting a bad example for, you know, 8-year-old Johnny. Believe me, Johnny, who's 8, has probably seen porn on the internet already.
So, like, yeah, that guy should be on the big screen. He should be celebrated.
I just was like, if this is what we're about, then we're not about the right things.
I've heard of the shoey. I've never heard of the shoey. I've heard of the 9 and 9 challenge. I think you have to do 9 hot dogs and 9 beers and 9 innings.
No.
But I don't know if you can do that because you got to load up in the last because usually you stop selling beer in the 7th inning. So
yeah. So he did 3 shoeys and what did he get for his effort? He probably got an infection and he got booted from the stadium. So that's like I was just like, what are we doing here? And I don't – he was not far enough away for – I would have seen if he FU'd somebody or spilled it on a kid. Like nothing. The guy was pristine. The other thing is I'm past the point of complaining about concession prices. I know they're expensive and ridiculous. So like it's stupid old man, cranky old man bull crap. So I'm not going to do that. But what I don't understand about the Red Sox, and I know there's a finite space, is that I did not get concessions at least twice because the lines were too long and I don't want to miss that much of the game. And like the lines and then in the bleachers, nobody was selling beer. There was no one vending beer in the stands. And so for me, like, am I going to spend 20 minutes in line to get that $18 can of Bud and watch it? I'm not going to do it. So, I probably consumed – I mean, it's not like I'm going to get hammered necessarily anymore. But, like, they missed at least 2 trips for me. Like, I probably spent $40 less than I would have. So, like, my point is, like, why aren't the Red Sox incentivized to have these freaking lines move faster? I mean, it was unbelievably brutal and slow, and I feel like they're losing money. So if they want to make more money, why wouldn't they find a way to make the flow better? I don't understand how they manage this stuff.
I would think in today's day and age with the technology, you'd be able to move lines much faster. But I think a combination of probably, you know, opening day, just not flowing the way it should be, given the fact that they should know how to do it because they've been doing it for years. But Fenway Park obviously is small and it's tough to be inside those tunnels and everything. But that is one of my biggest pet peeves about going to a Major League Baseball game is the time wasted when you're not being able to watch the game that you're paying so much money for. Again, that's probably why I stay home more than I go to games.
But because at Yankee Stadium, I feel like, I don't know, when I was at Dodger Stadium, like no lines and there was 50,000 people there. I mean, is Yankee Stadium? I figured they must have way more opportunities and spots, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's more open. There are a lot more concessions at Yankee Stadium, but yes, there are lines, and it is very frustrating. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with probably, you know, more like the tourist thing, the whole like you stand in line for 10 minutes and you get up there, like, oh, let me see what I want, you know. I don't get it. I think, you know, Major League Baseball or teams in general need to figure something out because the fan experience is becoming super expensive and you're not going to want to waste time on concessions. And if you can't bring concessions into the park, that's where teams are making a lot of money off of concessions. So they got to have to figure it out. if they're not going to start putting people walking in the stadium and selling beer, like you said, they weren't out in the stands. You know, guys need more digital stuff. Or, I mean, I see all these things at concerts now. You walk in, you basically walk through a detector, you walk out a detector, and it scans everything you got, and there's no money involved at all. So maybe they can start figuring something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have some of that stuff too, especially at the TD Garden. I went to the Celtics on last Sunday, and it's a totally different experience there. It's easy as all can be.
Let me ask you a question about the atmosphere at Fenway, because I read an article, part of an article that Alex Bregman said it was the craziest he's ever heard it on Rafael Devers' Inside the Park home run that he's ever heard Fenway Park. Now, obviously, he's talking as a visiting player up until now because he's only played there as a visiting player. But he said the atmosphere there is nothing like he's ever experienced.
Well, I have to tell you, to be honest, even at its best moments, and maybe that Inside the Park was one. I mean, we had a couple of great moments at the game I went to, and I'll talk about Willy Abreu in a minute. But the craziest moments don't compare to, you know, a Patriots Marathon Monday walk-off by Big Poppy or, you know.
Or a comeback in 04, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Well, 04 is just different. But, I mean, to me, everything pre-04 in the new ownership group was electric. And there have been moments, 2013 post-marathon bombing was electric. So I still think that an average day at Fenway when it's close to full is better than 95% of days at every other ballpark. But it's not nearly what it was at its apex. But I will tell you, like, I mean, I feel like the energy is so different. And even like on opening day, which to me, opening day has the most edgy Eastern Mass holes, Bostonians, because, you know, the tourists are still in school in Iowa and they haven't made their summer trips yet. So I feel like it is some of the authentic fans are definitely there. But I mean, I comment all the time to my wife, like I want more Boston edge. I'd love to see a couple fights and stupid people. I mean, it's way too watered down and silky smooth than it used to be. But it's great for Bregman. I mean, you know, fans even in Houston probably are just, they just don't, I don't know. There's something about Boston that's a little bit different, but I don't think it's close to the greatest environment I've ever.
Well, maybe he was just saying that to win the fans, but let me talk about Bregman real quick. You had mentioned Wilmer Abreu, and obviously you're probably going to talk about his throw from the outfield that he made, right? I mean, that was pretty impressive. But I think the more impressive thing about that game that I saw was the difference between what you get at Alex Bregman at third base and what you would get at Rafael Devers at third base.
Right.
In that game, there was a play right before that, a couple innings before, where it was a high chopper back to third base, and he went back on the ball, fielded it all in one throw, and threw the guy out just by a hair at first base, right? Yeah. And then you go to that play where Abreu throws a guy out. I think it was Nootbaar going from first to third from right field. And if you watch Bregman, how he comes off of third base on that play, he doesn't come off of third base. That's not an out. That's not an out. He waits for that ball at third base. That guy's safe at third. So there's just differences where you know, I'm not going to say Devers might not have come off third base, but you just know when you got a gold glove caliber third baseman who is probably the best third baseman in baseball, if not second, or, you know, top three. He's a difference maker. And if you as a baseball fan haven't seen it yet, you caught it pretty quick in the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah. I mean, there's two things I'd say. One is I think once you get past Devers being grumpy and fat and getting into, you know, some baseball shape or what have you, we all know it's not easy to go up to bat four times a game and do nothing else, especially when you're – part of the reason I think he probably wants to stay in the game is that it's just better from a rhythmic standpoint. You hit better when you're playing because you're in the rhythm of the game. We know DHing is tough. But, you know, having said that, there's no doubt that the team is better with Bregman at third. No, what I want to talk about with Abreu, and I'll just say, like, on the field – pitching is going to be an issue. Defense kind of might be an issue in some spots. It seems so far offensively, there is no issue. But like Abreu, like I'm trying to find guys that I really cheer for. For some reason, I like Story. I don't know. I don't have a feel for him personally. I just like him, the way he carries himself. Same with Bregman. It just seems like he's a pro and he takes care of business. But Abreu is a guy who just had his child was born. He missed most of spring training, and he comes in and he absolutely tears it up. And I think there's something about with these young men when they're happy in their domestic situation. He just had a child. There's something where gives a perspective to the world that I think sometimes brings out the best in them on the field. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening. He saw as he and Devers probably saw the same amount of balls in spring training.
And he was sick most of spring training.
Yeah. And then he had a baby.
Stomach flu or something.
And then, so like, I just, there's something about him. He's got a junkyard dog mentality on the field. Like there, he's a guy that I feel like I am going to increasingly like more and more. And I just, he's the one, if anyone pops out at me early on, I just think that he's a guy I'm going to love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's reason to be excited. I mean, he's definitely off to a solid start leading the team in hitting too. And, you know, he's an exciting player coming off of what I think was runner up to the rookie of the year, right? Or he was definitely a top three.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Sox have definitely got a different vibe. You know, they got their home run celebration Wally hat on already. So I'm going to be going to the game tonight. So we'll see how the vibe is.
Crochet. Tuesday night,
Garrett Crochet's first home start at Fenway Park. I will be witnessing that. Hopefully the weather holds out. But
let's talk about the Yankees for a second here.
All right, real quick, let's talk about the Yankees. So the Yankees and Red Sox are kind of matching up the same so far this season. They're basically, as far as ERA and team average and all that good stuff, they're right around the same. What sticks out from the Yankees, obviously, is Aaron Judge. He's off to a hot start. Paul Goldschmidt's playing well. Ben Rice is playing well. My big concern about the Yankees, again, is the starting pitching. They can't get anybody past the fifth inning. I know it's early in the season, but that's not the answer. It's not. You got to get these guys into the seventh inning. And again, the bullpen, Devin Williams now, two rough outings. Now, granted, he just had a baby too, and he was gone. And there could be some jitters coming to a new team, but we've talked about this. Closing is not an easy business. And if you're not going to be able to do it in New York, that's not the place to start having trouble, man. So I look at it now. I think, you know, the Yankees, definitely some question marks still. Bellinger, something's going on with him. His average is down. I think his back is barking. Looks like Clark Schmidt's going to be coming back. So hopefully that will help with the rotation. But again, the rotation, very, very weak in the innings, very weak in the innings. I need to see more length.
You know, I think you're totally right. I mean, the Red Sox have bullpen challenges too. But maybe it's just the early season stuff and just seeing, I don't know, seeing Toronto and starting the series the way they did against Boston and seeing the Red Sox against Baltimore and then St. Louis. Maybe the AL East, you know, we always say it's such a strong division. And then last year it was like, this division sucks. Maybe it's a little bit better. Maybe we downgraded expectations too much for the division. Maybe it's a tiny bit better than we thought.
I think it's going to be a good division. I really think the Red Sox are coming into their own. They're not going to be a surprise team anymore. And with this new Vlad contract, hopefully that maybe Toronto's going to step it up. I just don't know. Toronto just something about them. They just pitching just never holds up, and the hitting fizzles out. And I don't know if this big 14-year contract with Vlad is going to be the difference maker. I really don't.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, episode 190 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of years for a guy who'll probably end up DHing too. You know, you got to overpay for Canada because of taxes. although maybe the code will change when they're so-called the 51st state. But I don't know. They have to overpay. I mean, I don't think any of these contracts are worth it, but what do I know?
No, it's obviously, none of these long contracts aren't worth it. But I look at two things with this contract. I look at the age, right? He's 26 years old. So if you look at, you know, he didn't get Soto dollars. He's comparable to Soto, I would say, although Soto's an outfielder. He's just kind of more of, he's going to be a more one-dimensional player. Obviously, he's going to probably be a DH at the back end of this contract.
Of course.
He's not a superb defender, but it's the age that these Major League Baseball teams now are going to be willing to give the length. I'm not going to say the money. I'm going to say the length of the deal, because this puts him into his age 30 season. So if you're going to look at, you know, contracts going forward, you know, you got the, it's not going to be a real hyped offseason now with Vlad off the books. You're going to be looking at basically Kyle Tucker is going to be your main targeting point. He's going to be 28 in the offseason. So does he get a 14-year deal? I doubt that. I'm going to guess probably 10 years, but he's going to be looking at that same amount of money, which Vladdy averaged out about $35.7 million.
Well, it looks like the owners, just to interrupt you because I want to ask you this question, it looks like the owners have, there's been an adjustment made to this 14, 15, you know, year deal for 30 to 50 per annum. Is to do the Christian Campbell, right? Like, if you're going to pay huge money on the back end, let's try to get bargains on the front end. And I mean, the Red Sox have done a bunch of these pre-arbitration eligible deals that seem to be very, very organization friendly.
Yeah, and it's a smart move for the organization. Anytime you do a deal like this, given the market, right? Because a guy like Christian Campbell, even if he becomes a mediocre player, is going to command probably $10 million a year. So if you lock him up for 8 years, $60 million, which the Red Sox just did, that's a huge bargain, right? On the back end. But then if you take a guy like Vladdy and you got him for 14 years, now all of a sudden you're paying a guy that's 35 years old, $35 million a year. It probably isn't a bad deal given the fact that most players are probably going to be making close to that given the time. But again, one dimensional player. So if you think about it, the Red Sox are smart. They got, you know, Bale, they just locked up last year through 2029. Sedan Rafaela, they locked up through 31. And these are all kind of the same kind of contracts, 6 years, $55 million, 8 years, $50 million. And then Crochet, the big one.
Yeah, even Crochet's locked up.
So you think about that and you look at the Red Sox, they're smart, right? Because it benefits Crochet too, because he's older, obviously, but he'll become a free agent at the 31 or 32 age. But these guys like the Campbells, the Bayos, the Rafaelas, these guys, you know, they have lifetime security, yet then they can also go out there if they perform and get a good contract on the back end.
Well, Christian Campbell can get another contract and he could maybe get an 8 year contract on the back end, another one, but I felt a little bad for the player. I felt like he's, even if he's average, he's worth a little more. Like the 8 years, 60, just kind of was like, what is this, the NHL? I mean, I thought there'd be more money on the table for him, but.
Well, look at a player like.
For his family, and he took it.
Look at what the Braves did with Acuna, right? Like 3 or 4 years ago. They gave him like an 8 year, $100 million contract. Now, when he came off an MVP season, everyone was like, oh, well, the Braves are, you know, they're geniuses. He needs to renegotiate this contract and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But look what happened after that. He's been out almost 3 of those 5 years of that first contract being hurt. So the Braves look like geniuses on this, right? But again, now Acuna also has stability, because if he hadn't signed that deal, what would he be looking at trying to become a free agent coming off a 3 out of 5 years injury, right?
So your approach is like, find 4 or 5 of your promising guys, try to lock them up longer term, and hopefully 2 or 3 work out. And if 2 or 3 don't, it's still worth it.
Absolutely. If I'm the Yankees right now and I'm looking at a guy like Anthony Volpe, and I know that a guy like Gunnar Henderson probably isn't going to be available. Bobby Witt's been locked up already. There's not going to be a lot of shortstops out there. So I'm thinking to myself, why can't we go after Bobby Witt Volpe right now and try to give him like a Christian Campbell deal or a little bit higher than that, you know, and buy out those years, because Volpe's going to trend to be a $20 million player if he keeps going the way he is, guaranteed.
Any last thoughts on the first little leg of the season?
You know, we're all about 10 games into the season. You start to get a little feel of how the teams are going to shake out. I'm very surprised that Atlanta's as bad as they are. I really am. It's scary to think that they could really screw themselves and lose out in April, because they're not going to have Strider back. They're not going to have Acuna back probably till May. So that's going to be a big blow if they're 6, 7, 8 games back by then. The other thing I look at is with Vladdy signing, the market's going to be thin, which I think opens up the Japanese market again for the guy Taka Murakami, the first baseman from Japan, 25 years old, triple crown winner in Japan, MVP, that kind of stuff. So the pedigree's there, and everyone will be cutting their knives, salivating over him.
Well, I also think, just as a parting shot, I think it makes the trade deadline really important too.
Trade deadline will be very interesting.
It's going to be different if there's as thin a free agent market, and I haven't looked at it closely, as you say. Great stuff as always. John, be well. Have fun at Fenway.
Thanks. Hopefully I feel better, man.
Yeah, you'll get better. John Sedical, Brian Shackman, you've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.